This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Father, we pray. I pray because I am dependent on you. God, we are dependent on you. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that as the words come out of my mouth, that you will give us ears to hear. Our hearts are wide open to you this morning, God. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to obey your word this morning, I pray. Amen. Okay, so we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. I started last week. We talked about the Holy Spirit in the believer, in our lives. We talked about the Holy Spirit as a person. And I just want to start off again by reading from our MCF values. This is the foundation. These are the foundations that our church is built on. It's what we stand for. We value the Holy Spirit as a person, desiring his infilling as necessary for the accomplishment of all he calls us to do. Our dependence is on him for guidance, empowering, comfort, gifting, and the development of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I sow that word this morning that, you know, Elaine just shared and that others have had. There is a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming from outside, but I truly believe there's also a harvest coming from our lives, a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That is good. That is good news. You know, I just want to recap a little bit from last week. The Holy Spirit is a person, has a mind, he has will, and he has emotions. He can be grieved. He can be insulted, lied to, blasphemed, resisted, tempted, vexed, and quenched. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not just a vapor. He's described as being like wind, but he's not the wind. He's a person, and he desires relationship with each one of us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is here. And for us not to acknowledge the Holy Spirit as a person in some ways is an insult, I think, to Jesus. Jesus has been exalted and glorified. And the reason we have the Holy Spirit is because he has gone to be with the Father. That's the only way the Holy Spirit could come to us. We need to recognize the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third divine person of the eternal Godhead, co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent with the Father and the Son. It is his ministry to convict and convert man, as well as to reveal the Son and the Father to the believer. Since the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in all his glorious operations, is working through all who believe on the Father through the Son. This is why the present era is known as the age of the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament is sometimes referred to as the age of the Father. So we hear a lot about the Father. Then there was the age of Jesus when he was here on the earth. Now we have the Holy Spirit. How blessed are we? How blessed are we to be living in the age of the Holy Spirit? I'm often very grateful that I didn't live in hard times. You know, I don't even have to. I've got running water. I've got hot water. I've got a, you know, comfortable bed. I've got certain expectations of my lifestyle. How blessed do I often think that, God, I would never have been very good where in the days when I had to wear a big dress with big skirts and be all proper, and that wouldn't have been good for me. I'm so grateful, but I'm more grateful that I'm born in the age of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you? We have the Holy Spirit. So this week we're going to have a brief look at the Holy Spirit in the church. In this church, the Holy Spirit. So number one, the Holy Spirit formed the church into a corporate structure. So the body of Christ was put together at Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. He baptized all the members of the new church into a spiritual body. In the Old Testament, temples were consecrated or dedicated with fire. Let's have a look. Let's go back to the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7. So this is a time when Solomon has built the temple. So before this time, there had been no temple. David had been the king of Israel, and they had the tent of meeting, like with Moses, and he had brought the ark back. But there was never a place, a building, a temple where God lived. And King David had wanted to do that, and God said that it was going to be his son that would do that. It would be Solomon that would do that. And if you read the chapters beforehand, it's all about Solomon building the temple of God, and it took him about 20 years, it tells us in the Bible, to do that. And we land at chapter 7, where he is dedicating this temple, this house of God, he's dedicating it. So, verse 1. When Solomon finished praying, no, let me go back a little bit. Let's go to the prayer. Chapter 6, verse 40. Oh my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to all the prayers made to you in this place. And now arise, O Lord God, and enter your resting place, along with the ark, the symbol of your power. May your priests, O God, be clothed with salvation. May your loyal servants rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject the king you have anointed. Remember your unfailing love for your servant David. Chapter 7. When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. When all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices to the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. And so the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. That's some sacrifice. So this is how it happened in the Old Testament. The temple was dedicated with fire. Let's fast forward to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house there where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This new temple, you and I, has been baptized with fire, the Holy Spirit. This, in Acts, is the new temple. Living stones being put together, and fire comes to dedicate this new temple. We are now the temple. We are the dwelling place of God. We are the place that he has set up his home in each one of us. That is amazing to me. So the Holy Spirit in this church, we are this church. I think we get this concept of the church. It's sort of a little bit like when everyone says, when I'm doing it myself, when someone says, you know, everyone's saying this. Who is everyone? Well, they are all doing this. Who's they? Well, the church. Who's the church? You and I are the church. You and I are the church. So the Holy Spirit in the church, he put the church together. He formed us. At Pentecost, he came down and he baptized with fire the new temple for the new covenant. And it is the same for us. Here in verse 41 that I read, may your priests, O Lord, be clothed with salvation. Who are the priests? You and I are the priests. May your loyal servants rejoice in your goodness. Let that be us. Let it be us singing, he is good and his faithful love endures forever. The Holy Spirit in the church. The Holy Spirit sets believers in the body as living stones. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Don't you realize, church, that we here put together by the Holy Spirit are the temple of God and God lives here? Ephesians 2:20, together we are his house, built on the foundation. Are you hearing that word over and over again today? Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. The Holy Spirit is what brings us together, is who brings us together. 1 Corinthians 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body. Today, church, we have all been baptized into one body and one spirit. We all share the same spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that make it any less part of the body? And if the ear says am I not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God, the Holy Spirit, God, has put each part just where he wants it. The Holy Spirit has put each one of us just where he wants us. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honourable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honourable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honour and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffer, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you has a part, is a part of it. I can't say to you, I don't need you. You can't say to the person sitting next to you, I don't need you. We need each other, and it's God who has put us here. It's God who's planted us in this church. Number two, the Holy Spirit brings anointing, illumination, and direction to the church. It's the Holy Spirit who directs us. It's the Holy Spirit who has not only gone before us and made the way, but he walks through that with us. 2 Corinthians 1:21. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He, the Holy Spirit, has commissioned us We have each been commissioned, and he has identified you as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. We have a guarantee of every promise that God has ever given us. Every promise that you can find in the Bible comes with a full 100% lifetime, actually eternity time, guarantee. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. When the Spirit of truth comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, that means there are some spirits that are not holy. And there are some spirits that don't tell the truth. And we are told to discern the spirits, to test the spirits, to see, is it the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit makes himself known to us. We know his voice. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. He directs our path, Acts of the Apostles, in very practical ways. The Holy Spirit is very practical, right? If he can make my iPad not work because he wants me to talk about him, he's very practical. In Acts 16:6, we read, next, Paul and Silas travelled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. Very practical. They had a plan where they were going, and they were under the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit closed the door, prevented them from going. Okay, then we'll go here. No, it's still not right. Okay, then we'll go here. Still not right. So I want to say it's okay. Sometimes it looks like we've missed it. But Holy Spirit, I thought you said go to Phrygia. I don't know how to pronounce that. And so we start going and then we hear this, no, that's not, well, did I miss it? Didn't I hear you? And how much time do we spend wasting wondering whether we got it wrong or not? The disciples tried to go somewhere else. No, still not right. But the Holy Spirit led them and they went to the right place at the right time. Later on, others went back to those places and the door was open for them to go there, but the timing wasn't right then. So the Holy Spirit directs us. What did we hear this morning? Day by day, don't look at what's going on now. Don't feel like we've missed anything or got something wrong. Okay, Holy Spirit, we'll keep going and you'll keep directing. Number three, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to the members of the church. It's the Holy Spirit who gives the gifts. We touched on this a little bit last week. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. And I just want to say right there, if you either neglect the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you or don't appreciate the gift the Holy Spirit has given you, or you think maybe he gave you the wrong one, then that it's the Holy Spirit and he is the source. What is that saying to him? When I complain about my gift or I think it's the wrong one, what am I saying? Well, God, you got it wrong. I don't know. Can you make the sun come up? I can't. Can you keep the stars in place? I can't. God is good. It's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't make mistakes. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. I need you. I need you to be operating in your spiritual gift that God has given you. You need me. to be operating in mine. The Holy Spirit has given us a gift, not for our benefit. It's for each other. It's to help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Thank you, God, for those people. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Need each other. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And then Romans 12, 6 to 8 says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Church, there is going to be a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit in this house, in us. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of the nature and the character of the Holy Spirit in the members of the body of Christ. What does the word say? They'll know them by their fruit. Not by what we say, not by what we wear, but what we do. It's what we do with our gift. Number four, the Holy Spirit is the agent of direction and government in the church. The Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, is head of this church, the government of His people. Acts 15, 28 to 29. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. I love that, you know, they're listening to the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. They're talking to the church. You must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. If you do this, you will do well. So what's happening here is the Holy Spirit has given them their instructions. They're saying, okay, this is what you can do and this is what you can't do, and it's come from the Holy Spirit. Acts 20. 22. And now I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. This is Paul. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. It's the Holy Spirit who directs us how to use the gift that He's given to each one of us. Jesus, the head of the church, was under total control of the Holy Spirit when He was alive on the earth. He only did what the Father told Him to do. The Spirit flowed freely and perfectly unhindered in Jesus' life. And so it needs to be and can be and will be with His church. We, the church, are Jesus' body, His visible body on the earth. What a witness that we mature to the place when we can say to the world, if you want to see Jesus, look at us. And that's not to big note ourselves. That's to say, we, a church, want to be just like Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit who does that in each one of us. I want to finish by reading our MCF values again. This is the church. God has planted us, church. He has planted each one of us here. I was awake during the night thinking, well, actually, I didn't realise I was awake. Does that ever happen to you? I was awake and I was thinking, oh, Holy Spirit, have your way. Sometimes we say things so easily and don't realise what we're saying. I was thinking about today, Holy Spirit, have your way. I'm really hesitant to say what he told me, but I have to say it. He said, Karen, do you really want me to have my way? Or do you want me to have what you think needs to happen? Do you really want me to have my way? Because if I had my way, I would be, every heart would be repenting. It wouldn't look fun. That's what I felt the Holy Spirit say last night to me. Do we really want the Holy Spirit to have his way? I know we do. But are we prepared for what he's going to say to us? Are we prepared? And if we're not, God, by your Holy Spirit, how amazing is that? He prepares us. I'm not putting any extra burden on you. I'm not telling you that you're not what you should and shouldn't do. The Holy Spirit will tell you that. But the Holy Spirit did say to me very clearly, do you really want me to have my way? Are you really ready for that? Let's be ready, church, for him to have his way in us and in this place. We value the Holy Spirit as a person, desiring his infilling as necessary for the accomplishment of all he calls us to do. Our dependence is on him for guidance, empowering, comfort, gifting, and the development of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. You are a good, good Father, full of mercy, compassion, grace, patience, long-suffering, endurance, gentleness, self-control, joy, peace. God, you are so good. And it is our desire, God, it is my desire to be like Jesus, to be the visible body of Jesus on this earth right now, today. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us. Direct each one of us. Counsel, guide, teach, comfort each one of us. Thank you that you have brought us together, built us together, living stones in this house. Thank you for your church globally. God, we know we are a part of your body. Thank you that your church, your body, your bride is alive and well and pursuing you. I pray that for us in this house, God, that we would pursue you with all that we are. Let there be a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, in this place. Not so that we feel good, but so that you will be blessed and your name would be glorified and many would be brought to salvation. Bless you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.